This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Thank you, Night Shift, Mike, Byron and company. What an interesting singer. Delightful. Okay, they're getting themselves together as I get myself together. Stay tuned for Sugar in My Bowl. This is Joyce Jones. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. What on earth are these bottles doing in here? God. I'm going to forego this, my theme for a treat for with regard to Still Bill, the movie. I had a conversation with the co-directors, Alex Vlack. Oh, boy, this stuff is rattling. Let me hurry up and get to this recording already. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, Sugar My Bowl. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Joyce Jones, and I'm here with...
Damani Baker.
And I'm Alex Black.
And you are the co-directors of Still Bill, the movie, who are somewhere in California right now in an undisclosed location doing undisclosed work.
Not the CIA.
Okay. How did you start working on Still Bill?
This started almost 10 years ago. I should mention Alex and I have known each other for over 20 years. Went to high school in San Francisco together and kind of came to Bill's music kind of in our own way. Alex covered Bill Withers tunes at Columbia in a college band, and I grew up in Oakland where my dad had the live Carnegie Hall album on heavy rotation, so it was just part of kind of the soundtrack of the house. And, you know, we both kind of found our way into film, and why not, you know, two old friends that had this kind of insane passion and love for his music, when we started working professionally, said this was kind of a no-brainer. And we spent a lot of that, most of those 10 years, really trying to find anything and everything we could on Bill Withers. And this is, you know, before the internet, so research was tough. And, you know, it was basically Alex and I running around town, setting up meetings with anybody who was willing to listen to us as we were kind of pitching this idea of a Bill Withers documentary. And meanwhile, Bill and his wife, Marcia, were completely ignoring us. And we were becoming more, I think, pests to anyone than actual, you know, filmmakers. And she eventually did agree to meet with us, and we sat and had this great lunch with Marcia. And she said, you know, I don't know, we'll see what happens. And then time just kept passing. And finally, Celebrate Brooklyn, which we all love, took a meeting with us and said, you know, we'd love to do a tribute show in Bill's honor, and maybe you could use that in your film. And we're like, yeah, we'll take anything. That'd be great. 8,000 people in Prospect Park listening to Bill Withers tunes. You know, we'd show up with our cameras and shoot it, and if the worst case scenario is we'd have this great film of people covering Bill Withers tunes. And so we relayed this to Marcia and said, look, you know, we've gotten to the point where now it seems like there's a concert that may happen, and no one wants to move forward without Bill's blessing. Can we at least come back to L.A. And sit with Bill and you and explain that this thing's going to happen? And Bill says, okay, then we'll go ahead with it and we'll shoot it and we'll see what that turns into. And that's really how it happened. And we sat with Bill for that first meeting, no cameras, for almost 4 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And we said, wow, this is, you know, not a concert film. This is not even a traditional biopic, and he agreed to let us come back with our cameras, and that was the beginning of 4 years of production.
So, Alex, how did you wind up going to his hometown?
We had a sort of idea. We never knew exactly how much of Bill's time we were going to get. So we kept thinking of different things that we would do to fill out the story of his life. And one thing that we knew that we wanted to do was go to Slab Fork in West Virginia. It's a coal mining town. And we had originally had ideas about going there and kind of shooting reenactments, perhaps, of his childhood. Or we didn't quite know what we would shoot there, but we just knew that we wanted to go there. And it ended up being really kind of indicative of the way the entire film happened, because we told him that we were going to go down there. He said he's never going to come. He said he doesn't like going back there, and if we go, he doesn't want to go to any old cemeteries, and doesn't want to deal with any old family or friends. He doesn't want any of that stuff to be in the movie. So, you know, we can go down there and we can take pictures of coal mining town stuff, but just leave it at that. And sure enough, about 3 days before we left, he said, you know, I think I'll come with you. And then he came down there with us, and we sort of went with an old friend of his who took us around all the time, C.B. Thompson, who was great. We found an old cemetery where we found his brother's tombstone, and it was a really intense and emotional and just great trip. And actually, it was one of three trips that we ended up doing down in West Virginia with him. And it kind of really was the beginning of this long, about 2.5 year journey that we took with him, where the film really evolved into this exploration of his life and really a very personal movie as opposed to a biopic.
Damani, how did you wind up at the reunion?
Oh, the high school reunion.
Yes, yes.
You know, that, for me, is one of my favorite kind of moments in the film, because it's so Bill in his kind of lack of interest in fame. But, you know, he can't help it. He's so charming. And he shows up to his high school reunion with C.V. Thompson, walks in, and he knows everyone. Not just because he's famous, but because that was such a, you know, important part of his life. And, you know, he started his career in his 30s. So he'd lived before he became a famous musician. So it was really nice to see him connect to people, you know, and, you know, quote, everyday people, you know, working people. And he walked in as that guy. So that was really just an invitation. And, you know, we were in West Virginia, and it was also his 70th birthday and his high school reunion. So as filmmakers, we're like, well, that's a no-brainer. Like, are you kidding? We're going to go back to West Virginia on your 70th birthday on the 4th of July at a high school reunion.
Oh, my goodness.
That was just a win-win across the board. And, you know, we walk in, and there's dancing, and there's just beautiful faces, and really just kind of the culture of the community that came out, not to see Bill Withers, the star. It was really, he could have been anyone in there. And that's just kind of part of his charm and even elegance. Just kind of how he rolls, you know.
That's wonderful. The distribution of this film has been very interesting. There have been a couple of screenings in theaters here and there. There was something set up on the web for people to have screenings of their own. And at the end of this month, you're going to be at IFC. How did that come about? How did you wind up with that kind of arrangement for the film?
Well, this is Alex. I guess I'll take it.
Yeah.
we're really happy about this partnership that we have with, it's called B-Side Entertainment. Basically, what they did is they just kind of looked at the model for small films. Documentaries tend to be small films, and saw that the model was broken. Basically, that, you know, you try your hardest to get a theatrical release. Your movie's in the theater for a week or two. You put all your finances and all your eggs into that basket and do a tremendous amount of marketing, and essentially spend a bunch of money on marketing to hope that you get people into that theater just for that little two-week period, and maybe you get a review in the New York Times, and then sell some DVDs. And the problem with that is that not only is it not a great financial model, but it not that many people actually really get to see your movie. Even if you get the sort of wonderful feeling of getting your movie in a movie theater like IFC Theater and getting a review in the Times, the truth is not that many people get to see it. Not that many people get to see it together in a group setting. So what they do is they treat their marketing program as a screenings program. The screenings themselves are the marketing leading up to DVDs, which will come out in April. And the way that they do that is that they have a host your own screening program. So if you go to stillbuildamovie.com, you can not only find a screening near you, but you can host your own screening.
and you may be a person that's just hosting a screening for your family or your friends with 10 people, and it might just be a private screening, or you might be a bar, or you might be a church or a community center or a movie theater. And so we're just trying to really get as many people to see this and talk about it with each other and kind of spread the word between now and when it comes out on DVD and iTunes as possible. And it's been really great. I mean, we had a lovely family write a whole thing on about how this woman was cooking Thanksgiving turkey for the first time ever with every member of her family there, with 40 people, and they were hosting a Bill Bill screening for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And they uploaded photos on their site,
and they sort of talked about what Bill Withers meant to them and everything. There was a screening at the what's it called? It's called Harlem Stage.
Harlem
Stage. And then we have this you know wonderful thing where IFC says, you know, we want to screen it. So it's going to start a run at the IFC Theater on January 27th. BRIC, organization that hosts Celebrate Brooklyn and a number of other arts programs throughout Brooklyn, is hosting a screening at the Pavilion Theater in Park Slope on the 26th. Right before the IFC screening, and all of those screenings, Bill is coming for, and he's going to be doing Q&As for, so really excited about it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
IFC runs for a week.
And that starts on the
27th. Excellent. I'll just add, there's one really great thing on top of all of that with B-Side is, for us as filmmakers, we really get the best of all worlds. You know, we get all of these amazing people around in North America screening the film on their own, so it's really this kind of user, you know, on-demand, community-based organizing going on around this film we've made, and we also get the traditional theatrical release, because, you know, no filmmaker doesn't want to see their film on the big screen with an audience. So,
right.
You know, as it's at ISC, you have a church that's screening it in Oakland. So there's just really, it's just a kind of a great process. We couldn't be happier with how it's going.
Well, thank you very much, Alex Black and Damani Baker, for presenting Still Bill, the movie. Yay!
Yeah.
There was a one night only screening at IFC last year, so it'll be good to that everyone will have at least a week and opportunity to see the film and ask some questions. Do you know what nights you're going to be there?
We'll be the first two nights for sure. Yeah.
The first two nights. Excellent. Damani?
The 27th, the 28th, we'll be there, and I think we'll be there on the 1st as well. My alma mater, Sarah Lawrence, is hosting a screening night at the IFC.
Oh, great. And Alex?
Well, I just wanted to say that we really love for people to go to stillbillthemovie.com. You can find out everything about those screenings that are near you and what's coming up, but we really encourage people to order a screener and be part of the ground team.
Well, thank you very much, Damani Baker, Alex Wack, and look forward to seeing you, I'll hopefully see you on the 27th.
Great. Yeah, great. Come out and meet Bill.
Your love is like a chunk of gold. Hard to get and hard to hold. Like a rose that's soft to touch. Love has thorns that hurt so much. Well, and must the same
And that was a conversation with Damani Baker and Alex Vlack, the co-directors of Still Bill the Movie. And that was, you just heard, The same love that made me laugh. It's from Justments. That's apostrophe J-U-S-T-M-E-N-T-S. May or may not be on CD. I don't think it was released on CD. I got this from burning to a CD. So it was an LP that was transferred to a CD. In any event, Still Bill the Movie will be at the IFC Center, the theater, on 6th Avenue, starting the 27th. It will be in Brooklyn at the Pavilion on the 26th. And for at least the first two screenings of Still Bill the Movie, the 27th and 28th, Bill Withers will be present in the theater. I do not have any passes, but you need to support the film just the same. And stay tuned for Yusef Lateef. Good day, Yusef Lateef. Thank you for joining Sugar in My Bowl.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
I'm so glad you're available. I guess I should congratulate you for being named one of the 2010 American Jazz Masters by the National Endowment for the Arts.
Well, thank you.
Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, it means that there's someone who appreciates what I've been trying to do, and that's always a good feeling.
I guess I should first start off by also mentioning that you no longer use the word jazz.
That's not for my music.
Right. You haven't been doing it for 30 years?
Yes, it's 1970.
Why don't you tell us what you refer to it as?
Autophysiopsychic music.
Autophysiopsychic music, which means?
Which means music from the physical, the mental, the spiritual self, and the heart.
And the reason why you refer to it is that, it seems self-explanatory by just the definition. But
yeah, I think so.
Okay. Once I was aware that that is what you referred to it as, I was in agreement, because that's...
Thank you.
It definitely is a more sensory experience. I also heard that you, after having read some of the definitions that people gave to jazz, you decided, well, this just isn't going to work.
Yeah, it's not for me. It doesn't work.
I mean, some of the words were, what was it?
Skullduggery.
Right, right.
Poppycock.
Right.
Oh, that doesn't work.
Well, thank you very much for giving a new name.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I mean, rehearsed behavior and years of usage may be difficult in my actually referring to it as a newer phrase and still referring to it as jazz, but I like your expression.
Thank you.
Look on your right side. See the happy. your right side. See the happiness. Look on your right side. See the sweetness. Look on your right side. See the angel. Look on your right side. 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 Look on your right side.
And speaking of expressions, I have to tell you, your version of Sea Breeze was something that I had been searching for. I heard it, I think I was 13 or something.
Okay.
And I'm over 40 now, and I wasn't familiar with the song, and I didn't hear the announcer mention the name, so I was searching for years, like, what is this song? What is this song?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a Romare Bearden documentary, and then it hit, there it is!
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sea Breeze in the background by Yusef Lateef from Cry Tender, a 1959 prestige release. Lonnie Hillier on trumpet, Hugh Lawson on piano, Herman Wright on bass, Frank Gatt on drums. Yusef Lateef is playing oboe on this particular recording, but on others he plays tenor sax and flute. Before that, we heard Look on the Right Side, Yusef Lateef, from Audio Physio Psychic, which is a CTI 1978 release. Art Farmer on flugelhorn, Cliff Carter on keyboards, Eric Gale on electric guitar, Gary King or Alex Blake on bass, Jim Madison on drums, Sue Evans on percussion. Yusef Lateef plays soprano sax, tenor sax, flute, and Shinai, and as you heard, vocals on Look on the Right Side. And this is my favorite song on the planet, Sea Breeze. Stay tuned. This is Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. I love that song. I love your interpretation of it, and I think it's because of the oboe. How did you wind up? Well, I understand you started playing tenor.
Well, the first year I played alto, then I changed to tenor.
Okay.
And in high school, the teacher suggested I play oboe, and I didn't take him up until 9 years after I left high school, finished high school. I studied the oboe. It was 1951.
And oboe just gave a new, for me, it was just a new dimension to listening. I mean, it took me further.
Thank you.
And from there, it seemed as though you played flute
And then you branched out into all types of flutes and reed instruments.
Yeah, many of them. I was compelled to look into other avenues of musical expression once I did my first album. Savoy Records called it Jazz Mood. And I realized if I was to continue recording, I'd have to enhance my musical canvas, if you will. Started looking into music in other cultures such as India, China, Indonesia, etc.
How did you wind up recording the love theme from Spartacus on Eastern Sounds?
I was with Prestige and the A&R man. He suggested, why don't you do an album called Eastern Sounds? And that's all he said. That was a good idea. And then I saw the little theme from Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was quite a beautiful composition. So I went to Chinatown. I found a Chinese flute that I liked. And there's a piece on there using that flute. And each theme was oriental orientated, if you will.
Yes, from the east.
From the east, right. Right.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful song.
I think it is, too.
Just feel really good every time I hear it.
Oh, that's good.
Talking over these songs, it's just especially, you know, my favorite songs, and this is one of them. Love Theme from Spartacus, Yusef Lateef from Eastern Sounds, 1961 Prestige release, Barry Harris, whose solo I am speaking over now, on piano, Ernie Farrell on bass, and Rabat, Lex Humphreys on drums, Yusef Lateef on this recording plays oboe, on others he plays flute and tenor sax. Before that we heard The Beginning, Yusef Lateef from Jazz Moods. It's a 1957 Savoy Jazz release, Ernie Farrell on bass, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Louis Hayes on drums, Hugh Lawson on piano, and Yusef Lateef plays flute, tenor sax, scraper, and argo. Stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl. You can call me in the studio, 212-209-2900, if you missed a song, or you can email me at sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com. Stay tuned. I understand you played with Dizzy Gillespie.
Yes, 1948-49.
Did you also record with him?
Yeah, I recorded Swedish Sweet Chum Chidley Bar. It was one album I was on.
Mm-hmm. jump to the bar, 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 oopa pa, oopa pa. So the little 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 little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little
little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little
little little little little little little
little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little
little little little
little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little little to listen.
To get back to the compositions, because, I suspect you've, it seems as though you've composed, oh, so many pieces. I mean, just the earlier Savoy pieces and Prestige and what have you, but then... currently, it seems as though you're, you know, every time you breathe, you compose something.
Yeah, well, you know, once you have a recording contract, you have to be prepared if you're doing, say, two albums a year.
Ah, I see.
That's generally what I was producing.
Wow. How was the, shall I say, big label experience for you?
Well, I had a good stay with the late Joel Dorn with Atlantic Records.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the freedom, you know, to record what I wanted to, which was a grand opportunity. And for the most part, I didn't have to look for a record contract because I had a long stay, close to 10 years with Atlantic and Impulse Prestige.
reason for me to talk over the song. Oh, this is so painful. But this is my only opportunity. So, we are now listening to Nubian Lady by Yusef Lateef from The Gentle Giant. What we're actually... The two songs we heard are a couple of Atlantic record recordings. This one was released in 1972. It's also, there's a 2008 Wounded Bird record reissue. Ray Bryant and Kenny Barron, another NEA Jazz Master recipient of 2010. And, they're on pianos or electric pianos and or electric piano. Sam Jones and Bob Cunningham on basses. Bill Salter on electric bass. Kumba Tootie Heath on drums. And Laji Kamara, African percussion. It's actually one of my instructors from way back. And before that we heard Eastern Market, Yusef Lateef. From Yusef Lateef's Detroit, released in 1969 on Atlantic. Eric Gale on electric guitar, Yusef Lateef on flute, tenor sax on other recordings, Cecil McBee on bass, Chuck Rainey electric bass, Norman Pride or Ray Barreto on conga, Albert Tootie Heath on percussion. He apparently wasn't Kumba on this recording. Bernard Purdy or Roy Brooks on drums, Curtis Fuller on trombone. String quartet includes Gene Arloff, Selwert Clark, Emmanuel Green, and Kermit Moore. William Fisher is the conductor. And you're listening to Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Stay tuned for more Nubian Lady and Yusef Lateef. Your first piece, the
African American Epic Suite. Yeah,
yes.
That was a suite, yeah.
Oh, okay. How was that, approaching that? How was it, since it was your first?
Well, you know, I was commissioned by this German radio in Frankfurt to write a piece, and I had freedom to write what I chose and could. And so I took the theme of, a tone poem, which reflected, it told the story of African-American before he became African-American in Africa. And then the second movement was the Middle Passage, and this third movement was Love for All, when mankind was preaching from Northampton to the Blue Ridge Mountains, Kentucky, about the brotherhood of mankind, etc. And the last movement, I think it's called Love for All. And I enjoyed doing it. That's how I went about it. And, of course, it was certain, like the Middle Passage, I thought about the piece I'd studied in school, La Mire by Claude Debussy. And I just looked at the rhythm. He got the sound of boats. So I didn't use the melody, but I used the rhythms, which gave a feeling of a ship being rowed. I don't know if you noticed that when you heard it.
I will hear it by the time this comes to air.
And it worked out. It took about 7 weekends.
Because
I was teaching at the time at University of Massachusetts.
WBAI, New York.
The autobiography, The Gentle Giant.
Oh, yeah, with Herb.
Yeah, with Herb Boyd.
Right.
That tells it all. You know,
that's what went down during my musical career.
It covers everything, and all of the holes that I may have and have left out, it would definitely be covered in that book. Everything is there.
Oh, thank you.
And on the line we have Herb Boyd. Hi, Herb Boyd.
Hey, Joyce.
Hey. So in our conversation with Yusef Lateef, we talked about The Gentle Giant.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me about how that came about? How did you wind up working on that book with Yusef Lateef?
I aggressively pursued it. not really. It was one of those kind of serendipitous things that happened. Oren Keepnews, who's a very fine music producer, perhaps you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
And he was putting together kind of a collection of Yusef stuff. Mm. On the old label, going back to Savoy labels. And so he was saying that, would I be interested in doing the liner notes? And I say, I would leap at that opportunity since I've been following Yusef, since I was at least 15 or 16 years of age.
Wow.
And he was in Detroit, and I had an opportunity as a teenager to go out to the clubs and hear him on many, many occasions, particularly at Klein Show Bar and the Bluebird Inn in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So when he offered me that opportunity, I said, wow, it's like a dream come true. And since I'm also a kind of a frustrated musician, I say, well, this would be an opportunity to get really close, and maybe if I do a good enough job, he'll let me get a couple free flute lessons. So I did the liner notes and the collection of recordings, and Yusef saw it, and he had heard of me over the years because I used to be the correspondent there for Downbeat Magazine for about 10 years in Detroit, and also was affiliated with a number of the musicians that later on he performed with, including Eternal Wind, Adam Rudolph and Charles Moore,
right,
and Buzzy Jones. So they were all like students of mine when I taught at Oberlin.
Oh, okay.
So it was like this hookup was just coming together. So after he saw the liner notes, I began to talk to him about, Yusef, you ought to do your autobiography. And I was not even thinking about me necessarily doing, but that so many other musicians were putting their books out there. And so he jumped at the idea. He said, well, hey, would you like to work with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, again, I would love to do that. So I rounded up and put together the proposal, and we shopped it around, and the University of Michigan grabbed it off first.
Okay.
And that didn't work out so swell because of any number of things, particularly the whole control and the money, the promotion, what have you. So we got a better offer from Morton Books, and that way Yusef, who loves to control his own properties, his own, what you call his intellectual property.
Sure.
And this is an opportunity to do so and keep control over it. And it worked out very well. In fact, the book is now going into its fourth printing. For Yusef, the book was just, he had so many items out there, so many products. I mean, he's written a couple of novellas.
Exactly.
Books of poetry.
Right.
All kind of essays. He has his own recording company.
And cheat music.
Yeah, right. He's got so many products, that
right.
Even his paintings and posters.
Exactly.
And so having a book just throws it into the general collection of things that he can offer. And he wasn't that interested in maybe getting out there and making money on it. You know, it's kind of like finally, to some extent, like a vanity piece. You know, hey, here's my book. I got it done. And so be it.
Right.
But of course, Morton, they're interested from a commercial standpoint, and so they've done a pretty good job of promoting the book and getting the reviews and everything and adding it to his own website, which is just a phenomenal website. I guess
it is.
Check it out, Joyce.
It's YusefLateef.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with so many different writers over the years, and the way it happened, he would... we had phone calls, a number of phone calls, a number of personal interviews. I would go out to his concerts and everything and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewed him before a concert and after, and I would send him about 10, 12 questions through the mail, and he'd send back the tape version of it. I told him he didn't have to write anything, and then I would transcribe the cassette, and then do a lot of, you know, backstory, add to it, fill it out, shoot it back to him for approval, and then he would give it back to me for a final edit. And that's the process we use for all of the chapters until we got the book done. And then we were very much pleased that another young a fan of his was able to supply us with this extensive discography in the back of the book.
Oh, wonderful.
David Brown. So that added to it and gave it a book a little bit more heft.
And now we'd like to bring you an original written by Yusuf Lateef, titled Yusuf.
Opportunity to describe what we're listening to. In the background, we are listening to Yusuf, as mentioned by Donald Byrd. And this is from Donald Byrd's First Flight. It was originally recorded in 1965. This is a 1990 Delmark Records release. Donald Byrd on trumpet, Yusuf Lateef on tenor sax. I'm speaking over right now. Barry Harris on piano. Bernard McKinney on euphonium, Alvin Jackson on bass, and Frank Gant on drums. Before that, we heard a snippet from the second movement, Transmutation, from the African-American Epic Suite for quintet and orchestra. It was released in 1994 on the ACT label. By Yusuf Lateef. It's Yusuf Lateef on tenor sax. The entire recording, he plays Germanic flute, alto flute, algaita, sani, baboon flutes, Indian temple flute, and moan flute. And Eternal Wind, Adam Rudolph is part of Eternal Wind. Hand drums, tabla, didgeridoo, kalingu, talking drum, udu, clay drums, bells, cymbals, gongs, whistles, small percussion. Ralph Jones plays tenor and soprano saxes, flute, hikariki, bass, clarinet, bamboo flutes, Frederico Ramos, acoustic and electric guitars, Gimbre, Charles Moore on flugelhorn, shofar, dumbek, conch shells, and the Cologne Radio Orchestra, directed by David de Villers. And before that, we heard a snippet of Lemire. What is this? Delab Midisir Lemire. It was recorded by... I am giggling because I generally wouldn't have to repeat, you know, say something like that. But Yusuf Lateef was inspired by this piece. This particular recording was recorded by the Philadelphia Orchestra, conducted by Eugene Ormandy. And so stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl. Oh, yeah, that was released in 1994, the Lemire piece. Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. More Donald Byrd and Yusuf Lateef. Oh, by the way, you can call me 212-209-2900, or you can email me at sugarinmybowl@gmail.com if you miss any of these titles. Thank you.
like to make a correction. That was written by Barry Harris in honor of Yusuf Lateef.
I think Gentle Giant is absolutely apropos when it comes to Yusuf and his kind of influence, the impact he's had on world music.
Right.
I think the late Joel Dorn said it very well in one of the blurbs on the book. He said, Yusuf ears can see the whole world.
Wow. That's perfect.
Beautiful.
By the way, where did the title Gentle Giant come from?
Gentle Giant was the name of an album.
Okay. Yeah, it was from the 70s. Or one of the Atlantic recordings.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we were kind of going over different titles for the book, and I went through all of the different albums to see which of those would be catchy enough. And then it was running by Yusuf, and Yusuf himself, he made that decision.
Okay.
He said, let's call it a Gentle Giant.
Excellent.
And gentle is one of those words that really rides very well with him.
Yes.
I mean, you have to work very hard. I thought it was going to be a lot harder, you know, getting him to kind of dredge up a lot of stuff. Mm. He being such a shy and introverted person, mm-hmm. I mean, he turns inward. He doesn't turn outward.
Right.
And you have to kind of dig stuff out of him and keep pushing. And I know I wouldn't have those kind of opportunities for those exchanges. So I said, well, let him just settle and do, this is his book. I don't like the idea of, you know, the writer intruding too much in someone's life. Let them tell the story. And only where it has a very rough articulation should you jump in there to kind of smooth out the language, because he's a poet and a painter. So he has this vision, and he has a sense of the language, and has such a universality and a deep religious feeling about him that I think he can summon up his own expressions, and he did that very well. He could have written a book without me, I'm saying at last.
Well, thank you very much, Herb Boyd, for working with Yusuf Lateef.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Joyce.
And thank you for joining us on Sugar in My Bowl. Thank you.
Now, you have your own label, which you started in the 90s, I think it was?
Yeah, no, I think it was 1992.
Okay.
YAL Records. Yeah. Right.
And how is that as far as distribution for you?
Well, at one time it was no problem in distribution. I had a distributor. But, you know, the electronic age has changed the way that they sell records on iTunes, et cetera.
Right.
And so distribution slowed down because of that.
Well, there is a great website you have, though. I don't know who maintains it, but...
Yeah, well, I had to go that way, you know. I didn't know any other way to go.
And that's Youssef Lateef?
Yes.
.com. Yeah, that's a very thorough site. It also includes your novellas.
Oh, yeah.
How long had you been doing that?
It started in the 70s.
And you actually, you voice them.
Yeah, well, one of them, one is Another Avenue. Mm-hmm. It's in voice also, as well as physical publication.
You grew up, well, you're an only child.
Yes, I am.
And so you grew up with lots of sounds of nature and just the environment. And how has that contributed to your music making?
Well, you see, I feel basically that the universe, the plant kingdom, the human kingdom, we're all creations of Providence, and I think one can get a concept of beauty just looking at into the eyes of a flower, if you will. Or if one can hear the love in their mother's voice when she calls to you or speaks to you. When you see acts of kindness demonstrated to those who need it, like orphans, or just simply children, one can learn what the icons of tenderness and beauty is, if you will.
When you started to express your spiritual beliefs, how did you maneuver through that?
You're speaking about when I embraced the religion of Islam?
Yes.
Yeah, I embraced Islam through the Ahmadiyya movement in Islam. I had no problem with that. At least I don't know of anyone who had any negative feelings about it. It was an honest endeavor, and I think it was accepted as such.
Oh, okay. Well, I could definitely hear in your music just mm-hmm. the expression of soul and mm-hmm. nature and mm-hmm. just living. There's a lot of life in your music.
Oh, that's wonderful. That you can, your ears can hear that.
To be quick about this, what we're listening to right now is I'll Always Be in Love with You. This is by Youssef Lateef from, let's see, I always have a problem with this title, Psychic Emotus. It's a 1965 Impulse release. Youssef Lateef on flute, bamboo flute. On other recordings, of course. Chinese wind flute on this particular one, tenor sax. Tambourine. George Arvanitas. Well, Reggie Workman had to help me with his name before. But it's Arvanitas on piano. Reggie Workman on bass. James Black on drums. Indian bell and percussion. Before that, we heard Plum Blossom. From another Eastern Sounds, excuse me, wait a minute, I might have the wrong, no, I'm right, Eastern Sounds, yeah, because I really love that recording, I just, everything on it, and yeah, so, it's a 1961 Prestige, Barry Harris on piano, Ernie Farrell on bass, Rabat, Lex Humphreys on drums, Youssef Lateef on flute, oboe, and tenor, and we're going to go back to I'll Always Be
in love with you. By the way, you can call me in the studio at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900, or you can email me at Shuga, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, at gmail.com. And I'm also on Facebook, as Shuga in my bowl. So become a fan. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Did you ever marry?
Oh, yes. I married when I was 21.
Oh.
And my first wife, she passed. I had two children. They passed, one in the year of 2000.
I see.
And my son in 2001.
Oh, I see. Then
I married again 37 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I had a son. His name is Yusuf.
Oh, okay.
Abdulatif. And his mother passed this past October 29th.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We were from God, and to God we shall return. It's just a matter of time.
Does Yusuf perform?
No,
okay.
He studies mathematics.
Oh.
Yeah, calculus.
Oh. It seems very similar, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Now, I understand you had a favorite piece from the Centaur and the Phoenix. The one about your first child, Iqbal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a wonderful daughter. Yeah, I like that piece. Yeah. You know, the bassoon, featuring bassoon.
On recently?
Recently, I finished my second symphony, and I'm now working on the third symphony. So that's what I'm busy doing now.
I also noticed your relationship with Cannonball Adderley.
Oh, yeah, for 2 years, yeah.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was another learning experience aesthetically. Cannonball was quite a learned musician and a businessman. And there were times when riding along the road, he would lecture about the music of Stravinsky, etc. And that was a grand opportunity for me. And I never heard him practice while we were on the road.
Oh, really?
I thought it was odd. But when we'd get on the bandstand, he would play like a wizard, you know.
Mm.
He had some way of practicing without his instrument.
Okay, here we go again. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. You're listening to Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. I'm in a conversation with Yusef Lateef. We heard from Herb Boyd earlier in the morning, in the dark outside. All right, right now we're listening to Mello Buono, Cannonball Adderley from the Jazz Workshop Revisited, a 1963 landmark release. Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Nat Adderley on cornet, Louis Hayes on drums, Sam Jones on bass, Yusef Lateef on flute, oboe, saxophone, multiple reeds. And before that we heard Iqbal, I-Q-B-A-L, Yusef Lateef. It was in honor of his daughter, his firstborn daughter, child, firstborn child.
The Centaur and the Phoenix is the recording. It's a 1960 Riverside release. Youssef Lateef on tenor sax, oboe, flute, argol. Clark Terry and Richard Williams on trumpets. Curtis Fuller on trombone. Tate Houston on baritone sax. Hosea Taylor on bassoon. Joe Zawinul on piano, Ben Tucker on bass, and Lex Humphreys on drums. And once again, you can call the studio at 212-209-2900. I can let you know whether I said something too quickly, or you can email me at sugarinmybowl@gmail.com, sugarinmybowl@gmail.com. And as I mentioned earlier, Sugar In My Bowl is on Facebook. You can find us there. Stay tuned.
Barry Harris can do that.
Ah, yes. And you've recorded with Barry Harris. You went to school together, didn't you?
We both grew up in Detroit.
I see.
And we played together in Detroit. They call him the high priest of music in Detroit.
Ah.
He's a great teacher.
There are many singers and musicians that I've met over the years who are constantly mentioning his name.
Yeah. Well, he's had a history of teaching many students. I'm one of them.
It seems as though you were performing as a leader for a long time.
Yes, it started in 1955, actually. When I left the band, I was working with Barry at the Bluebird in Detroit, and I was offered to lead the band at a place called Klein's in 1955. And then Curtis Fuller was in the group, Hugh Lawson, Frank Gant, and Ernie Farrell. And I did the first recording on the off night. We had left Detroit on Sunday night, record on Monday, and Hackensack Tuesday night. We played about 5 years, and so we were prepared, plenty of material to record.
Uh-huh.
So we started doing about two albums a year
mm.
in 1955. And finally, in 60, I said, well, I might as well move to New York, and that followed.
Several of the older recordings, and I'm becoming more familiar with the more current pieces on the YAL label.
I see.
As a matter of fact, there's one person that you work with a lot on your label, Adam...
Adam Rudolph?
Adam Rudolph, yeah. How did you wind up working with him?
Well, you know, I was in Nigeria for 5 years. It was August 1981 to August 85. About 4 years. And I returned, and I got a phone call from Adam Rudolph. He said a trumpet player, Charles Moore, suggested that he call me. They were doing some oriented things. And we became friends, and we did some musical projects together. In fact, it was Adam who recommended this German fellow commissioned me to do the African-American Epic Suite. And he took Adam up on it, and he called me and gave me a commission.
So you're still working together, yes?
Oh, yeah, we do things occasionally.
Thank you.
say I'm a new student and I came into your class.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you say to all your students? Is there like a first thing that you say to all students to introduce them to the class?
Not really.
Okay.
But no, I don't think so.
Okay.
But basically, I guess I ask a question, you know, what is it you want to learn? And of course, I try to teach them to be able to express themselves, their own voice. I try to get them to understand that each human being has something special.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to find out what that is and to nurture the skills, bring about the skills that we need to express what's in the heart.
What are your thoughts about, I guess, what's been labeled free jazz?
I don't know. Because of the ambiguity of the word jazz.
Right.
I don't comprehend anything when you use it as a diploma.
I see. Well, as an example, music that's played. Well, you've worked with Archie Shepp, and he's been known to play that type of expression.
Oh yeah. Well, I try to respect each person's concept.
I see.
If I may not believe in it, but I don't deny them the right.
Right.
To speak it and to think that way. Because I don't expect them. That's what is meant by freedom to me, is respect other people's points of view. Although you don't have, for instance, said, I defend to my death your right to say it.
Right, right.
I disapprove, but I defend.
I have mixed feelings about the concept of critics anyway, but there are certain critics that have no longer listened to certain artists because they decided to explore a new avenue. Or a different avenue for themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember reading once that some critics, they are critics because they have no skills of their own. Now, I don't know if that's true. I suppose it could be that way.
And
right?
It takes many people to be on the planet.
Oh, yeah, of course. We need respect.
Yes.
We need to learn how to disagree peacefully.
Yes. Yes.
Without condemning others.
Speaking of disagreeing peacefully, I'm sort of hesitant about mentioning, but hey, I'm just going to go with it. In 2001, when what happened at the World Trade Center happened, and there was a sort of insult to people who practice Muslim beliefs. And it still seems to happen today. It hasn't stopped, or, you know, it's probably eased up a little, but it's still, you know, something that people seem to express every now and then. Did that affect you, your surroundings in any way?
Well, it brought, like, a special scrutiny to me sometimes when I travel. I remember sitting in the airport in Italy, waiting on the plane, you know, and three guards came through. And they glanced at me, and they came back. Finally, they came to me and went through my papers, and I had been searched prior to that. But, I can't blame them for being careful. I don't want the one to blow up a plane or anything myself.
Right.
I'm just going trying to make an honest living, you know.
Right.
So that's a very sad thing for innocent people to be killed like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. Somewhere people are disagreeing with each other. We need to disagree peacefully, you know. And that's what's lacking in humanity. We don't know how to sit down and talk about our differences, do anything to bring about peace in terms of conversation. So all I can do is just pray for humanity like I do frequently. And the Holy Quran says disagree peacefully. It doesn't say or kill innocent people.
Right.
I wouldn't want to believe in nothing like that.
I actually do not believe that concept is written anywhere that people should just kill.
That's right. I haven't seen that either. Yeah, like the Quran says, what is wrong with you that you don't help each other?
Right.
That's what we are supposed to be about, making it comfortable for our neighbor, the man in the street, the poor, the uneducated. We're supposed to be helping everyone. That's the type of paradise on earth when women can start helping each other, not condemning each other with their. They say the Muslim shouldn't hurt anyone with his tongue or his hand, and that's talking to people who slander others.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't do that. If we can't say something good, we shouldn't say anything.
Right. Professor Yusuf Lateef.
Yes, thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. I'm very grateful to you and your audience.
And thank you for your continued expression.
Oh, thank you.
Of auto-physio-psychic music. And it does mean music from a physical, mental, spiritual capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Watson, the needle.
Nights in Spain, nights of bliss thrill again. It was on a night like this.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Well, somebody I know had requested this, and I thought I'd squeeze in as much of it as I could while I read back what we heard. Well, what we're listening to right now is In a Little Spanish Town, In a Little Spanish Town, 'Twas on a Night Like This. It's by Yusuf Lateef. The Doctor Is In and Out is the name of the release, and this was released in 76 on the Atlantic label. Let's see who we have here, because there's like a list of folk. Good Lord, this is amazing. Yusuf Lateef on alto and tenor sax, oboe, flute, and bamboo flute. Yeah, it's the second time I did that. Kenneth Barron on keyboards. Robert Cunningham, Ron Carter, or Anthony Jackson on bass. Al Foster on drums, who? Another NEA Jazz Master recipient. Is that Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola with Bobby Hutcherson and James Spalding and Cedar Walton? Ah, that was fabulous. A fabulous time last Wednesday. Anyway, okay. Billy Butler on guitar, Dom Romeo on percussion, and I think that's everything. Well, I think. Wait, Leonard Goins on trumpet, Joseph Wilder on trumpet, Jonathan Dorn on tuba. I guess that's on some other recordings. Jimmy Buffington on French horn. Unfortunately, they don't mention who these singers are. But hey, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Coming up in a one minute. Come on, Max. Max Schmid and Mass Backwards. Come on, get on in here so I can go home. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. You've been listening to Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and I guess you'll be hearing me next month during the third Tuesday. At that time, it'll be a fun drive. Stay tuned for Mass Backwards, and thank you for joining Sugar My Bowl. Good morning.
In a little Spanish town, 'twas on a night like this. In a little Spanish.